Blog Talk Radio.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to another episode of Evangelize for Life with your host Stephen Glover. And it has been a while since I've been able to broadcast a program dealing with this particular topic or dealing with any topic at all. But today I would like to share with you a recent episode or encounter with not only a Jehovah Witness, but also two Muslim men from Saudi Arabia. Now, this is so very important because of the fact that the Great Commission commands us to go into the world and to preach the gospel. And in doing so, upon hearing, because the Bible says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and how can they believe in whom they have not heard? And I would have to say, not on part of the Jehovah Witness, but for the two Saudi men that are exchange students or students here on visa from their country, they probably have not heard the truth about Jesus Christ all their life. Many of you know that Saudi Arabia is a closed country to the gospel. Churches are not allowed to be planted or started. And so the Bible is actually banned, and those who read it can be put to death. And that was evident from my encounter regarding the hesitation of these two men to even read scripture or even talk about the Bible. But before we get to that discussion, I would like to open up in the word of prayer, because today we're going to examine John chapter 4, where we are instructed to test the spirits and to see whether they be of God. So let's begin. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Father, you are God and you are truth, and your word is truth. And your word says, sanctify them by thy truth. So Lord, we are set apart by your word. But Father, so many of us, Lord, are ignorant of these truths, to the point where we're unable to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And I pray that today, Lord, this program would be of some help to mobilize, to equip, and to train others to share the gospel with those who either do not believe it or have rejected and even are ignorant, having never heard it before. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like for you guys to begin by turning to 1 John, the epistle of John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 1 where he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore the world speaks as of the world, and they hear them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." We're going to stop there because we're going to be dealing with testing the spirits. We're going to be dealing with looking at some of the teachings of Islam and the teachings of Jehovah Witness. Now, when the Bible refers to testing the spirit, we're looking at and dealing with terminology and reference to someone who works with metal, because in order to assess metals, you have to melt them down in order to purify them, but also to help to understand their authenticity. It's interesting that as John is admonishing believers to test the spirits, he's also referring to angels. He's also referring to men. And so we watch, we ascertain, we examine what angels say and also what men say. Because Paul writes in Galatians 1 that if an angel appears to you and brings any other doctrine, let him be accursed. A doctrine that is separated or different from that which Paul brought to the church of Galatia. So he is saying that we should examine, test what they say. And in order to do that, you have to compare it to the word of God. Now, many angels have appeared to men in times past and brought false doctrine. Angel appeared to Joseph Smith and Taz Russell. An angel appeared to Muhammad. And it's interesting that many of the teachings that when you look at these different faiths and belief systems, they contradict the Bible. For example, when you think about how Muslims, and since we'll be looking at Islam today, according to Islam, Jesus is believed by Muslims to be only one of many prophets chosen by Allah, and Muhammad is the last prophet, according to the Quran and the teachings of Islam. Muslims do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, even though Islam is monotheistic, meaning that they believe in one God. They reject the Trinity and the concept of Jesus being the second person of the Godhead. And you find that in the Quran, that if anyone believes in the Trinity, they're considered an infidel because they're seen as being polytheistic. They don't understand that there is one God, but yet the Godhead is revealed in three persons, each in essence, and yet they are distinct in being. And so their God, the God of Islam, is unknowable, but yet the God of the Bible is one that is near and one that is not far away. They believe that the incarnation, they actually reject that. They reject that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. His death, his burial, his resurrection never occurred. As a matter of fact, they believe that Judas was crucified, that Allah disguised Jesus or made it appear that it was Jesus, that made it appear that it was Judas, and yet at the same time Jesus was taken bodily into heaven without never dying. So you can imagine the difficulty in addressing this topic with someone who doesn't believe in the Bible. As a matter of fact, these two Muslim men said that the Bible was corrupt and or corrupted. And according to the Quran, if you go to one of the surahs actually state this is in Surah called The Woman, and this is verse 136. O you who believe in Allah and his messenger and the book. The book is referred to the Torah or the books of the Christians, which he has sent down on his messenger and the book which he has sent down before. So one of the ways that you can even get to the point where you can dialogue with Muslims is to refer to the book, refer to the passage that is found in The Woman, verse 136. Now, getting to our scripture verse, and I just wanted to kind of outline some of the things that Muslims believe or don't believe, and we'll get to the Jehovah Witnesses here in a minute because they're very similar. I remember Jesus asking his disciples, what think ye of Christ and whose son is he? And Simon Peter's response was that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response to him that he said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And the thing about this is that they all reject the deity of Christ. And really, that is the bottom line. And this is the reason why we are to test the spirits, because John clearly addresses that topic where he speaks of the fact that every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Now, those who accept or believe that God, the incarnation, that Jesus took on human flesh. And as a matter of fact, I had these gentlemen read Philippians 2, where it talks about Jesus being in the form of God, you know, thought it was not anything to grasp, but he himself took on human flesh, being found in the form of a man. And the purpose of his coming was to be crucified for the sins of the world. And this belief is necessary for salvation. Now, the thing about these spirits, these doctrines of demons or these deceitful spirits, their whole objective is to confuse or to pervert the Bible, to keep people from believing these biblical truths because of the fact that they know that it would lead to damnation. It would lead to an eternal hell because of the fact they have not believed. Jesus tells us through John in 1 John chapter 5 that everyone who believes has a witness in himself. But he who does not believe God has made God a liar because he has not believed the testimony or the account that God has given regarding his son. And he says, and this is the witness of this, that in Christ there is eternal life, and he who has the son has life, and he who does not have the son does not have life. So clearly the Bible teaches that belief leads to salvation. Belief leads to eternal life. Belief leads to forgiveness of sins. And it's so very important when you look at this verse, and this is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. This is the first test of a true teacher. And these are they that acknowledge and proclaim that Jesus is God incarnate. So not only in Islam or even among the Watchtower organization, but the Mormon who comes to you and says that Jesus is not God, the gentleman that I met the other day who had a turban on, who is part of a faith that has combined Islam with Hindu and Buddhism and Far Eastern teachings, does not believe that Jesus is God. Jesus has not come in the flesh, and et cetera. But true believers who are from God teach that Jesus, God, came down in form of a man. He was incarnate in human flesh. So this does not mean that they believe that he was just a man, because many of them will say, yeah, I believe that Jesus was on earth and that his human body was physically real. But we're talking about that Jesus was fully human, that Jesus was fully divine. So he was full an area of humanity, but yet he was also deity, 100% man and 100% God. And that is a point that I illustrated to these young men, that God was both 100% man and he was still yet at the same time God. So the privileges that God had, his glory, his riches, you know, those things, his omniscience, he laid aside temporarily in order to be crucified for the sins of the world. That's his purpose of coming, was to seek and save that which is lost. But, you know, I mentioned Simon Bar-Jonah, God has to reveal this to you. The Holy Spirit has to testify that regarding the truths of his son, And for the most part, even the Jehovah's Witness, and let me just address that real quickly, because it's one thing of never hearing. The Apostle Paul says how, in Romans 10, how can they call upon him in whom they have not heard? Or how can they believe in him? You know, it's one thing of not believing because you never heard. Paul goes on to say, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So it's one thing. And in this particular case with the Muslim, you know, a preacher has been sent to them to hear the gospel for the first time. That's not from a Muslim cleric or an imam, but from an actual evangelical believer. But it's another thing being a Jehovah's Witness and rejecting the teachings of the Bible, which they do, because here in America, they've heard the truth. They have been labeled as false teachers and false prophets, and they are completely aware of the fact that they're cultic, and they are completely aware of the fact that they intentionally reject Jesus. Now, I'm reminded of, and I believe it's in Matthew 12, where Jesus had an encounter with the Pharisees, the scribes, and they were guilty of the unpardonable sin. And what is the unpardonable sin? That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, meaning that Jesus did miracles, turned water to wine, walked on water, stilled the sea and the storm while he was on the Sea of Galilee, raised the dead, did multitudes of miracles that John says are innumerable. But yet, they attributed his miracles to the devil. They would not give him credit. They would not give him glory. They would not give him praise. They would not acknowledge that he, in fact, was the Christ. He, in fact, was the Messiah. That he was, in fact, the Son of David, the long-awaited God-man, the long-awaited Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father had come. And he confirmed that he was from God by the miracles that he did. But yet, they would not believe. They would not believe. And my encounter with this elderly gentleman, having gone through multitudes of scripture, that Jesus is clearly referred to as Mighty God by Thomas, or My Lord, My God, or in Hebrews chapter 1, where it speaks of My God, or Colossians 1, where he's the creator and the maker of the heavens and earth, or Hebrews 1 again, where he is the radiance of an exact representation of the image of God, or Philip in John 14, where Jesus said to him, as you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I mean, I could go on and on with multiple verses, and yet the man's response was that Jesus was not God. And this even includes Romans or Revelation 1, where he's referred to himself as the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 21, Revelation 22, says that he is the first and the last. And even back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, he says that he is the first and the last, and he died, and now he lives. And so my question to this man was, when did Jehovah die? Did God die? He could not give an answer because of the fact that he enters into the Bible with a premise that is false. And so Jehovah Witnesses spend their time searching the scriptures in order to find examples where Jesus was created or Jesus is presented as not being God. And they'll say, well, he says or he claims to be the Son of God, that he was created by God the Father, and they will even use, this is a verse that's found in the book of Proverbs. And this is from a recent encounter that I had with a gentleman who referred to Proverbs chapter 8. And in verse, and let me turn there, Proverbs chapter 8, and you can turn there too. Proverbs 8 and around verse 21 and 22, this is a verse that the gentleman had me read and that I read that said, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord, this is verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, and from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. And this is the verse that this gentleman and the Watchtower organization uses to prove that Jesus was not God, that he was created. Now, if you were to go back to verse 1 and read the entire chapter in context, it is evident that this is not talking about Solomon. It's not talking about, this is the writer of Proverbs who speaks about wisdom. He's not talking about Jesus being created, but he is in actuality talking about wisdom. Wisdom is speaking. Verse 1, does not wisdom call and understand, and understanding lift up her voice? Verse 2, on top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Besides the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is the sons of men. Now, as I'm reading, I think it's interesting that wisdom regarding Christ leads to salvation. Knowledge is the emphasis of this verse, and wisdom, and getting wisdom and knowledge will lead to faith in Jesus Christ. So the very chapter and verse that they're using to discredit, and again, these are doctrines of demons. The Bible says expressly that deceitful spirits in the last days will control men and lead them into error. And that is exactly what we see here. Now, I'm going to skip ahead here and read verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. Again, this is emphasizing that these leaders and rulers establish their kingdoms based on wisdom, based on knowledge. And even he addresses verse 24, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the fields, when he established the heavens, I was there. Now again, wisdom, God, all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign in his abilities, in his attributes. God, even now we're confounded by his creation. But it's this all-wise, all-knowing God who is able to create this world, and he uses wisdom to do that. When he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the depth became fixed, when he set forth the seas, its boundaries, so that the water, he says, should not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman. Again, Lord have mercy, you can only attribute this kind of darkness, this kind of deception, to doctrines of demons. Anyone who comes to the conclusion, anyone who reads this verse with an unbiased approach will come to the conclusion that he is not talking about Jesus being formed, but he is talking about wisdom and its influence and its activity in the lives of men and in God. And so he encourages men to get wisdom, to get knowledge. Now, false teachers who deny the true nature of the Son of God, according to John, they're being identified as the Antichrist. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, this is not the Antichrist, the one who will rule the world. This revived Roman Empire that we see forming even to this day, the world economy, the world religion, this, the one world ruler, the Antichrist that's mentioned in Revelation 13, will rule the world. But there will be a spirit that will be in place that we see today that will cause men to embrace these false teachings, the false doctrine that the Antichrist will bring. And so right now, we see that this distortion that is taking place regarding the character, the nature, the person of Christ is being perverted. The perverting of the gospel by the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Islam, the Muslims. I mean, the list goes on and on. The gospel is being perverted, and the doctrines of demons, the Antichrist spirit that's perverting the truth, Satan, his lies are perpetrated, promoted. You go on the internet, you find hundreds and thousands of hits that say that Jesus Christ is not God. The thing is that the second test, the true teachers, that they speak God's word and they follow the apostles' doctrine. So not only the denial of Christ, which you look for, but also those who speak sound doctrine. That is so very important, because we see that there is a spirit of error, as mentioned, and there is a spirit of truth. So the sole standard in which we judge, in which we assess, in which we measure, we use in the New Testament. And we test all doctrine to see whether it is of God, and we do so by the Scriptures. Now, this means that you cannot be ignorant of the Word of God. You cannot be ignorant of the Bible. And I believe so many Christians, as a matter of fact, a Jehovah's Witness, not that he was a Christian, but he went to church, sat in church and heard a preacher speak about hell, judgment, speak about an eternity in hell. Now, remember, Jehovah's Witnesses deny hell. They deny and believe in annihilationism, which is you are completely eliminated. And the main thing, Genesis 3:15, the prototype of Christ, where it talks about the seed of the woman, Satan's head being crushed and Jesus, his heel being bruised, they attempt to say that has something to do with annihilationism. So I show him in Revelation where it talks about Satan being tortured and false prophets. And I said that Joseph Smith was one of them, and Charles Taz Russell would be included in the category of false prophets. And the false prophets and unbelievers, Revelation 21 verse 8 mentions unbelievers will have their place in the lake of fire. And yet again, Satan had blinded his eyes so that he would not believe. But this is the thing, our responsibility is to present the truth and to make sure, as we present the Word of God to unbelievers, to those who have heard and those who have not heard, our responsibility through the power of the Holy Spirit is to preach the word and to be instant in season, because men will not endure sound doctrine. So thank you again for joining me for another episode of Evangelize for Life. May God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you, and may he turn his countenance towards you that you might be blessed.